Legendary broadcaster Lisa LaFlamme spoke at the Winter Garden Theater last night. Sheba Siddiqui and I got to go. It was lovely of Dress for Success Toronto to invite us. And they do so many important things as well that we're happy to advocate for and be a part of for now and certainly in the future. Our own Farah Nasser from Global National introduced Robin Doolittle from the Globe and Mail. Award winners everywhere in the house. We talked about our impressions of Lisa LaFlamme's story. She's obviously been a newsmaker in her own right, maybe not by her own choosing over the last year, but I think you'll be interested to know what Sheba and I thought about some of the things she said and the atmosphere at the Winter Garden Theater last night. So have a listen. Let's talk about Dress for Success. What do they do?
So Dress for Success is an organization that helps women who want to get back into the workforce, who, you know, want to become a little bit more financially literate in what they're supposed to be asking for in a job, who haven't worked in a really long time or sometimes not at all. And they're very supportive of how to helping you with your resume, helping you with your job experience, how to communicate in an interview, even something like as simple as what to wear. Mm-hmm. It's just, they're such a great supportive organization for women. And they hosted Lisa LaFlamme last night at the Winter Garden Theater last night, and you and I went, and you're right, we had fantastic tickets. We weren't aware though of what our seats were, so we sort of had to go upstairs, and there's this big velvet curtain. We pushed the velvet curtain aside, honestly, and, yeah. And there's this beautiful balcony box, and I'm like, whoa, Greg, like at the exact same time you're like, I feel like we're the king and queen, and I said, I feel like we're Meghan and Harry.
That's right. And did we get better seats than John Tory, because we were closer, but we were higher up. I think they kind of stuck him on the side, but he was on the floor at least. Some of his constituents.
Yes, he was on the side. He got some great pictures in, right? That's what counted. Yeah. But I think it was a really inspirational event. She spoke about, obviously, Robin started it off with asking her about, you know, what happened with the firing. That's what she called it, very blatantly, which you have to respect. And Lisa sort of, she did get into it, but she didn't. Like, she sort of sidestepped some questions. And she's, you know, she's a master at interviewing, so I think she knows how to handle every question thrown at her. I wish she had gotten into a little bit more detail about what it was like being the only woman on the air in this country with gray hair, and how they treated her.
I'm glad you said that, because my favorite 8 minutes, when I was most captivated, and I was throughout, was her talking about the change in hair color. Because I thought to myself too, 85% of the people probably in the theater were women. Do you think that's too high? 4 to 5, probably.
Oh, I think so.
Okay, yeah. And I would make the case not a lot of them are in their teens or 20s. Maybe some children were brought, but it's mostly her contemporaries or people, maybe 35 to 50. So what I got the sense was, I could feel the air in the room become instantly relatable to her telling this story about
100%
having to go color her. She talked about having to color her hair every 3 weeks. I don't think I'm telling any secrets out of school. She told 1,000 people last night, and she said, I had to go. And then when COVID came, when the restrictions came, I couldn't do it. You couldn't get a hair appointment. You know, and
nobody
I know,
could.
People were getting their hair done in garages, and there were all these secret hair appointments. Like again, I don't want to go into the silly stuff that we did, but we're like, oh God, don't have somebody come over to your basement and cut your hair. How dangerous. But we were there, and Lisa was basically like, screw it. And even before the pandemic, yes, she said her sister decided, who was a year older, decided to go gray. And she's like, I'm inspired by that, but I'm not there quite yet. I can't rule out another few years of coloring, and the pandemic pushed her, right?
Yes. And that's honestly, and she,
how'd you feel listening to that? That's that story.
But she's 100% right. Look, after a certain age, everybody colors their hair. She talks about how she started getting grays when she was in her teens, her late teens. Mm-hmm. Her and her sister started going early gray, so she's been coloring for a long time. But after a certain age, yeah, me too. Like, I started getting a couple, I'd say, in my 20s. And then in my early 30s, I'm like, you know what? It was babies that really just brought it on. So I'm like, I'm going to start coloring too. I can tell you 100% personal experience everywhere I go, whether it's at work, even in the Chorus building, whether it's, you know, with friends at a restaurant, I am treated differently by people when my hair is colored versus when it is not. And I think every woman out there who does the same thing, who colors, can relate to me in this way. It's like wearing makeup too. A woman is treated very differently when she wears makeup,
yeah,
versus when she isn't. But that goes with gray hair as well. You're not, people are not as, and I'd say men are not as friendly. The door is not open for you as often. You're often, it's such a blatant difference.
Do you think, I'm going to ask this because you know, I think you've gotten to know me pretty well. Do you think this is sort of subconscious that men do it? I try not to consciously treat anybody differently.
No, it happens.
I don't think I'm opening a door for somebody that I think is pretty versus somebody that looks
no,
like
No, you
they,
are. I
but,
promise
but,
you,
but
you
then
are.
It's subconscious,
but you don't,
Sheba.
Of course it is. Of course
okay,
it
I'm
is.
Making but sure that it's that.
Listen, whether you're wearing makeup or not makes a difference. Your weight makes a difference. I've been over 200 pounds post-birth. I've been 120 pounds. That's my extremes. I've been both. You're completely ignored when you're extremely overweight versus when you're not. Gray hair, not gray hair. All of these things, it's awful. And Lisa has started this conversation. They all make such a difference in how society treats women. And she talks about women over 50. And how women over 50 are completely ignored and they're not even in the room. That's how bad it gets for a witch. I'm not looking forward to that. That sounds awful.
Yeah, that is rough. And I got the sense there's a lot more for Lisa to do. And she's 58 years old. Like, that's staggering to me what she's accomplished. Started young.
Incredible.
And some of her stories where she said, I had to keep pushing. I mean, we all got to a certain point where we're like, do I keep going? Do I not? Do I push forward? Do I not? Are doors being opened? And what if they didn't open? How long would I stay with job X making Y amount of money? We all ask those questions in any industry, and Lisa pushed through.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.